You need to wash your hands of that and declare that you're now spiritually divorced, separated, that it has been severed from that situation you got yourself into. And many of you know exactly what we're talking about. I mean, you know exactly. You got encumbered with an encumbrance, with a burden, with a situation you never should have been involved in. Now, that might be a legal business transaction, or maybe you have coffee with somebody, or you have a friend that you have conversation with, and they don't build you up spiritually, they pull you down.
That's right. And when you go home, you're continually asking questions, questioning God, questioning the Word.
Amen.
When that happens, I'll tell you, it's really dangerous. And 2 Corinthians 6 is the verse where you were saying, do not be bound together. And the New American Standard says, bound together. But
right.
The King James, I believe, says, unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership, and this is a partnership, we have to see it as a partnership, have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, who is the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are temples of the living God. And he's very serious about that. We cannot be bound together.
Well, there's another thing that happens a lot of people don't realize. That they're involved in a relationship. It may be just over a cup of coffee. It may be over the phone. I've known of some people at 9 o'clock every morning, they call so-and-so. But so-and-so doesn't build them up in the faith.
Yeah.
So-and-so is negative. They're speaking sickness, they're speaking doubt, they're speaking fear, they're speaking unbelief, they're speaking poverty, they're speaking all this stuff. Well, I want to tell you, that's a two-way street on that telephone,
mm-hmm.
or across that cup of coffee, and you end up being defiled. You
yeah.
come away feeling down after talking to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. I mean, catch on. Come on, wake up. And some of you need to put those relationships on hold. Just because you've been friend for a long time and you're growing at, I'll give this example, you're growing like a jet airplane, and they're satisfied to go along like a little Piper cub. Let me tell you, you're outgrowing that relationship spiritually, and if you stay in that, you're going to have to compromise.
That's right.
And many people have done that, Barbara. They've compromised. You need to wash your hands of that situation, declare it cut off, and move on. Now, if that other person has said, I don't want to grow in the Word, I'm not interested in the Word. I go to church, yeah, I'm a Christian, if I die, I'll go to heaven, and that's all they care about, you need to get out of that situation and get away from there.
Absolutely, I agree with you. It says in Psalm 141, let me find that, it's such a good psalm. And David, of all of the prophets that wrote, I think he was more aware of having a pure heart, cleansed hands and a pure heart before God. Then we hear about it in James, but David more than anybody else, because he knew that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse, can cleanse and make it all good and make it righteous again. And David was one who said, in Psalm 141, and it's verse 2. Well, let's start right at the beginning of Psalm 141. O Lord, I call upon thee, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to thee. May my prayer be counted as incense before thee, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. And sometimes, Darren, exactly what you're saying, we go over to a person's house, we have coffee, we have something, we're in their midst, we're in their territory, and we open our mouths, and we have not set a guard over our mouths. We have almost compromised and agreed with them in things. Now, I know there was a man who called the other night, and he said he'd gone over to the house of a woman who was a part of a cult. And he came home confused. He came home reasoning that maybe her cult was more truth than what he believed. And this does. It gets us into confusion and frustration. And eventually it says, you know, deeds of wickedness, to practice deeds of wickedness.
Well, it also says in the Word to set no worthless thing before your eyes.
That's right.
And we need to make a decision by an act of our will to stay away from defilement and compromise. I'll tell you, that word compromise is so strong in me today. We were talking about a couple, a gal I think you'd gone to high school with. She married a guy that's just not interested in being a very turned-on Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably a nominal Christian at best.
Mm-hmm.
So she is compromised. She has come down to his level.
That's right.
To keep peace in the house. And they've been married 30 years?
Yes, 30.
Roughly 30 mm-hmm. years. And now she's just not as turned on to the gospel of Jesus Christ as she was at one time. So she has compromised her walk with the Lord to have things go well in the natural world.
That's right.
You know, sooner or later we pay for that, Barbara. We pay for it with our kids, our grandkids, with our investments, and especially with our health.
Yes, and we want you to go to the altar of the Lord. You know, in Hebrews that I was talking about, go boldly before the throne of God. We want you, brothers and sisters and loved ones in the Lord, we want you to go before God, before God's altar, with hands of innocence. And again, that's Psalm 26, 6 through 8, that wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about thine altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare all thy wonders. We cannot truly proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare the wonders of God with dirty hands, Darren. We cannot do it. And so I admonish you today as we do this message that you would get ready before God in your heart. You would kneel down before his altar and say, Father God, take away any uncleanness I have. Show me anything that is compromising to you, Lord God, and I will confess it. I will repent of what I have done wrong here. Oh, that is so, and you know, Darren, it's cleansing. When you get up from a prayer like that, I feel so clean, squeaky clean.
Well, repentance is not a drudgery. It's an absolute privilege.
Oh, it is.
I mean, it is a golden privilege to get rid of the junk.
Oh, hallelujah.
And I like what it says, Barbara, in Job 17:9. It says, nevertheless, the righteous shall hold to his way, and he who has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger.
Ooh,
now,
I
this matter,
that.
It's like 1 John 1:9 says, you know, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a matter of walking out the sanctification process, because we move from image to image and glory to glory in this walk with the Lord. We don't get just zapped all at once in salvation and it's all over. No, there's going to be times of sin. There's going to be times of straying. I don't care if it's a minute thing. We do at times because the flesh is so strong and we haven't yet learned to discipline the voice of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. We end up sinning.
That's right.
So we need to cleanse our hands. We need to confess, you know, that we did something wrong. And it says here, when you do that, he who has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger.
Oh, that's Job 17:9. What a great verse to memorize.
And it doesn't say,
I love that,
you're going to get weaker and weaker and more scarred up and beat up and all that stuff. It says you're going to get stronger and stronger.
And stronger.
And we have friends that have really listened to the message that we teach, and they're becoming so strong in the Lord. Not strong in Darren and Barbara, but strong in the Word, strong in the Lord. And that's one of the great desires we have for you, is that you will renew your mind in the Word. The Word of God will be your meditation. You'll meditate on it day and night. And then when God looks at your heart, in Jeremiah 17:10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give to each man according to his ways and deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And our ways and deeds are there by our choice.
That's right.
So what we need to do is, if they're not compatible with the Word, and I'll say it this way, compatible with the Word means compatible with success, peace, and prosperity. If we're not compatible with the Word, guess what? We need to change.
That's right.
We begin that change by repentance, by cleansing our hands. And I'll tell you, before we finish this message today, we're going to show you exactly what to do and tell you some of the benefits of washing your hands in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. There is nothing, Darren, in this whole world as wonderful as being able to stand before our Father God, the Creator of the whole universe. And some of you are saying, oh, man can't get to that place. Man can't possibly get to that place where we can be on an even platform with Father God. Yes, we can. And it says in 1 Corinthians 5:21, and you know that verse better than I do, but that we are becoming the righteousness of God in Christ. We can stand before him with a clean heart, Darren.
Well, because Jesus became sin on our behalf.
That's right. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Hallelujah.
See, God
what
runs,
a privilege.
He runs justice. And if you've sinned, then there has to be some payment for that. Well, we couldn't as humans take care of that ourselves. That's why Jesus died and shed his blood, is so we'd have a chance to enter the Father's presence after we'd been cleansed and covered with the blood of Jesus. And in that process, we become righteous. And then we can stand before Father God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, fear, or inferiority, or unworthiness, all that stuff, all that fear package that wants to hang on to us. I think that's marvelous, marvelous
news. Yes. In Job 22, We see here, and this is one of your favorite chapters, Darren. You talk about